Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining Jewish Stories and More. Today we have a lost and found story. Now, it's a very important day today that I'm recording this story. It is Purim Katan, the miniature Purim, which means that it's the same date as Purim. It's the 14th of Adar. But since we are only in Adar Aleph, the first Adar, this year there's two Adars. Therefore, we don't actually celebrate the mitzvahs of Purim, and automatically, therefore, we don't celebrate Purim fully. Of course, we leave out any sad prayers, the Tachanun and so forth prayers, which that is a major celebration, the fact that we are not saying those prayers. After all, our prayers are things that we really mean with our full heart, hopefully. And therefore, when we say the prayers that have to do with the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed and us being in Gullis and so forth, so those prayers are meant with our full heart. So the fact that we don't have to say them today, and also not tomorrow, which is Shushan Purim Katan, it's Shabbos anyway, but if it wouldn't be Shabbos, we wouldn't say those prayers either. It's a major observance of a holiday. The fact that we are leaving out those prayers, that means we're in a state of simcha. Now, of course, we're in a state of simcha every month of Adar, especially that we're increasing every day. We're already up to the 14th level of increase. But still, the fact that we don't say these prayers on Purim Katan and Shushan Purim Katan, it's a big simcha. It's very significant. Okay, but in addition to that, also the fact that it is Purim Katan makes us think about Purim. And therefore, we start getting ready, we start preparing, or at least we can very easily start preparing for Purim Gadol. And as a result, our Purim Gadol, the regular Purim, in such a year, it's a leap year, should be on a much higher level, a much bigger celebration, much more kavana, much more learning the halachas of Purim, which prepares us, inviting more people to join in our Purim celebration, affecting more people to help them learn about Purim and so forth. Okay, so anyway, the story is a lost and found story, and how that connects with Purim, we'll have to see. But in any case, here's the story. Today, I was in a very crowded place. It was a shul, Baruch Hashem, a very special shul, actually 770 Eastern Parkway, and thousands of people come there to daven. And as usual, I put down my tallis and tefillin bag and prepared to daven. I learned some chassidus first, so I should be able to think more about Hashem during the davening. And after I put on my tefillin, I spent a few minutes trying to prepare myself for davening by thinking some chassidus, thinking of these teachings about Hashem and about strengthening our relationship with Hashem and so forth. Okay, so I davened. I davened up to a certain point, and then I moved over to a different part of the shul because I wanted to say some Kaddishim. The minyan that I had been davening with had already finished, and I'm saying Kaddish for Moshe Tzvi Ben Yosef. Unfortunately, passed away a couple of days ago, my brother-in-law, and therefore I'm saying Kaddish for him and for a number of other people I say Kaddish for. And since the other minyan had gotten ahead of me, so therefore I didn't have a chance to say certain of the Kaddishes. And so I moved over to another minyan. A lot of minyanim going on in one big room. So I finished my davening over there with that minyan. I came back to my place, and my tefillin was not there. And my coat was not there. My hat was not there. Where was everything? So I realized that it had been moved because they were rearranging the benches. There was preparation for Shabbos, maybe we'd have more benches or whatever. Things were getting ready. In the meantime, my tefillin had disappeared. Now, Baruch Hashem, I had secured my tefillin bag closed, my towels and tefillin bag, I had closed it up so that if somebody moved it, nothing would fall out. But in the meantime, I couldn't find it. And besides that it was a towels and tefillin bag, it also had my Rebbeinu Tam's in there, my Rebbeinu Tam's tefillin, my second pair of tefillin. And it had a lot of precious Sfarim that I try to learn from, and some Sfarim that I I'm not learning from, but I would like to learn from. And whatever is very precious thing. Now, it does have my name on it. I made sure to put my name on the talis bag and on the tefillin bags, so that in case something would happen, my name and my phone number, it could be returned to me. But in the meantime, I couldn't find it. And it's a big shul, a lot of people there, a lot of people's towels and tefillin bags. And I didn't know what to do. I couldn't find it. And my hat, I need that too. My coat, I need that too. But then I decided I'm not going to get in a panic. I'm not going to, you know, start worrying and getting anxious. I'm going to just finish. I had some tefillin I wanted to say. And then I had to put on my Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin and say the things connected with that. And I always try to do at least some of the Chumash of the day and some of the Rambam of the day before I leave. So I had these things to do. So I thought, look, I'm going to trust in Hashem. One of the Chachamim, who's very much connected with the idea of Ashavas Aveda, returning lost objects and finding lost objects, is Rav Meir of the Mishneh. And so I thought, okay, in the schus of Rav Meir, in Mirat Hashem, I will find my talis and tefillin. My talis I had on, but I will find my tefillin and so forth. And Mirat Hashem. And so I had that in mind, that in the schus of Rav Meir, you know, may I find my things. Very soon after that, I did. There was my hat. And right next to it was my tefillin. And over there, it was on the floor, but over there was my coat. Okay, so I got everything together. And then I was able to finish up with my Rabbeinu Tam's. I might have said that out of order from before, but now I put on my Rabbeinu Tam's. And Baruch Hashem. So what do we see from this? We see that when we lose something, we should not become panicky about it. If it's really lost and we'll never get it back, okay, Baskalcha brought this by divine providence. Perhaps that the reason why Hashem had that item in our possession was because we needed to use it for something, some holy purpose, or some indirectly connected purpose that eventually had a connection to holiness. And now we finish with it, and therefore it's not something we need. On the other hand, if it's something that we're going to find, okay, so let's not panic, but let's daven, give tzedakah, is the custom, and have in mind that in the schus of a mayor, you know, Mirat Hashem, we will find our item, and then look for it the way we would normally look for something in the place that makes sense. And this way, Mirat Hashem, we will find what we need. And the same thing is actually with a lot of things in our life. Hashem sets up the world in such a way that not everything goes right. Sometimes things go not at all right. But it's important not to panic, but to keep our trust in Hashem. Everything's bashkocha pratis, everything's by divine providence. And the same thing, when we lose something or something doesn't go right, okay, so no reason to panic. Trust in Hashem. Do everything that we can according to Torah to make things go right, of course. Try to do everything in a way that things will go right. Be orderly, plan ahead, and so forth. But when they don't go right, not to worry. Trust in Hashem, and things will get the way they're supposed to be soon. And really, in a big way, so too with Gullus. Now, Gullus, we should be upset that we're in Gullus, no question. However, every moment that we're in Gullus, we should at the same time realize that Geula will come soon, that we are sure that Geula is coming. And as much as we should be bitter over the Gullus, just like Miriam was very bitter over the Gullus of Mitzrayim, she knew that there was a Nevuah, she had a Nevuah, that her brother Moshe would take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. But in the meantime, it was 80 years between the time of her Nevuah as a young girl and when Hashem actually took the Jews out of Mitzrayim. So she was very bitter over the Gullus. That's why her name was Miriam. Mar, the first two letters of her name are connected to the word bitter. She was very bitter over the Gullus. However, she also had trust that her Nevuah would come true and the Geula would come. Same thing with us, that all the Chachamim of our times are encouraging us about the Geula, that it's coming very soon. And of course, the Rebbe encouraged us tremendously and led the way in this trust that Geula is coming. And therefore, true, not everything goes right during the Geulas, but we can look forward with absolute trust and with much joy and simcha to the coming of the Geula. May it happen speedily, and the more that we look forward to it, and the more that we prepare for it, the more we learn about Mashiach and Geula, the quicker it comes. In fact, as the Rebbe puts it, that's the most direct way, the Derech HaYeshara, for the Geula to come, is through learning about Mashiach and Geula. Thank you very much for joining, and please increase in your learning, Torah in general, doing mitzvahs in general, tzedakah, all the mitzvahs that have to do with protecting the Jewish people, mezuzah, tefillin, and have in mind and daven to Hashem for the success of our soldiers against Haman, the modern Haman, which is Hamas, that we should have immediate and complete success in the war, a complete victory, and by us taking the responsibility to add in our Torah mitzvahs, this empowers the soldiers in the field. And in fact, the soldiers in the field are doing an amazing job. The IDF and the Shin Bet, the Secret Service and the police, border police, they're all doing amazing jobs. And many, 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 many people say that in their experience, they have seen miracles on the battlefield. Literally seen miracles, the hand of Hashem. May the Geula happen immediately, especially with your help. And thank you so much for joining Jewish Stories and More.